The Bush administration has been declaring that a U.S. victory is inevitable in the war in Iraq. While that's hardly surprising, such declarations carry political risks. NPR's Andy Bowers has been examining some of the rhetoric of this war and has this report on the language of certain victory.
As the administration has noted increasingly in recent days, it has always publicly warned that this war could have serious costs. As President Bush himself put it 2 days before the conflict began,
"War has no certainty, except the certainty of sacrifice."
But other statements by the president have suggested there is at least one certainty in this conflict, as Mr. Bush promised the Iraqi people in that same speech,
"The tyrant will soon be gone. The day of your liberation is near."
Secretary of State Colin Powell made a similar point on Friday.
"It is time for us to realize that the liberation is underway, and it is inevitable."
As did the commander of U.S. forces, General Tommy Franks, on Monday.
"Our resolve is great, the morale is good, and as I think we always say, there is no doubt about the outcome."
There seems little question the U.S. and British militaries can overpower the much smaller and more poorly equipped Iraqi forces. How long that takes and at what cost is, of course, the big question. Anthony Pratt-Canis is a psychology professor at the University of California, Santa Cruz, who studies social influence and propaganda. He feels the language of certain victory has been aimed in large part at Iraqi troops.
"One of the important ingredients in that psychological warfare campaign is to create the sense of inevitability, that fighting is futile."
But these days, an American president's words are heard simultaneously by both the foreign and domestic audiences. Glenn Reynolds, a law professor and popular internet columnist, notes that what's best to say to one group might not be ideal for the other.
"It's very important in terms of how we're affecting Iraqi opinion for us to be very confident and make very clear that we are going to go through to the end and are not going to leave them hanging. On the other hand, if you were playing just to a domestic crowd, you'd want to do like a football coach and talk up the other team."
Indeed, Santa Cruz's Anthony Pratt-Canis says during World War II, the Nazi propaganda chief Joseph Goebbels often used such a tactic before battles to keep domestic morale from flagging.
"Let's say they expected to lose 4,000 troops. Goebbels would turn around and say, okay, 8,000 troops is what we expect to lose. Then after the campaign, when they lost 4,000 troops, he could turn around and say, see, that's a victory."
There's also the question of how to define a victory, even an inevitable one in this case. Is it just military, or must the definition include the aftermath as well? Marty Kaplan is Associate Dean of the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication.
"Maybe the fall of Saddam is inevitable, but what's not inevitable is a wonderful, triumphant, clean sweep in which this is the first domino of democracy."
The news media, he points out, may well have a very different definition of victory than the administration. In fact, Mickey Kouse, a columnist for Slate.com, says the language of inevitability seems on the surface already to have backfired, encouraging the press to portray each setback as a violation of the war plan.
"But imagine what would happen if the administration had said, well, it's going to be a close fight, we might win, we might lose, and that's why we're going in. I mean, it would have been a disaster."
Columnist Glenn Reynolds puts an even finer point on it. "I think it's more important how they fight the war," he says, "than how they talk about it." Andy Bowers, NPR News, Los Angeles.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.